I love walk-off homers and headshots. I love drifting a turn at 100 miles an hour. In boss battles with a 600-foot-tall Greek god who may or may not be your father.
Welcome to the PSN at Home podcast.
Welcome to the PSN at Home podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Snow, and with me I have James Dahl.
Hello, everybody.
And Andrew Flores.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, so today in the story mill, we have Gran Turismo 5 getting a delay yet again.
I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it.
Sucks.
Well, they say the delay is only for a few days, and it's because they were afraid of not having enough supply to meet the demand in terms of copies of the game. Right. That's one theory I've heard. The other is because of an OX operating system hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different theories going around, but so far, they said that it's going to be here by the holiday season, but
at least it's not too much of a delay.
But still, it's like the fact that they had of a delay could have turned a lot of people off.
You should have seen this coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, but. So yeah, that's what we've heard about the Gran Turismo 5 delay. Remember, Gran Turismo 5 was supposed to release on November 3rd, 2010, and now we're looking at November. Actually, it was supposed to be just on November 2nd. Now it's going to be November
5th. I was just about to say that, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So November 2nd, that was going to be released, and now it's moved up to possibly November 5th, but by holiday season. So
right, yeah. Right.
Make sure you guys look out for that game. Hope it's really good. You'll see our review on it within its release. So,
yep.
Now, next thing on the story mill is the disc-free Netflix will arrive next week. What can you tell us about that, Andrew?
Pretty much, it's simple. For people who have Netflix, there will be an app out next week on the XMB, and pretty much all you need to do is just install it, and you will have a disc-free Netflix. Wait, so,
answer this for me, you guys. Hold on. Netflix. I already have it as a part of an app on the PlayStation 3.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Canada already has it first.
Yes. Okay. Canada gets it first.
Canada gets it first. Okay.
Well, there you go.
So, pretty much next week for North America users, besides Canada, there will be an app there for
Netflix. Yeah, you're getting it off the XMB or in the PlayStation Store? Does it come in an update?
I think it's just off the XMB.
I think it's going to be on the XMB.
Just right off of there, and it's going to show up one day, or are you going to have to
update? Yeah, it's just going to show up, I think, next week. I don't know when.
Yep.
Weird.
From what I've seen from it, you just go into it, log in, and there you go.
Yeah, but pretty much what it's supposed to do, it's supposed to run quicker. It's supposed to be a smoother experience for you to HD quality, of course, 1080p. That's what it could go up to. 5.1 Dolby Digital Surround Sound. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be the whole package for Netflix.
Now I've heard things about it being leaps and bounds ahead of the Xbox 360's Netflix. Have you heard that, Andrew?
I haven't heard anything about that. I haven't heard much on it. I'm not a Netflix user per se.
Yeah, neither am I. I haven't really done any Netflix things, but I've heard on an article on N4G somebody reporting that it was actually leaps and bounds ahead of the Xbox 360 version of their Netflix application.
Hmm.
So, and what I've heard about the 360 one is that one's amazing. You know, it's like instant streaming of 1080p HD. Movies,
Same thing's gonna happen with us. So
finally, good Netflix here. Everything's good. So
you can throw out them discs, and you're free now from discs.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now the last thing in the story mill is Split Second headed to the PSP. this is Split Second on the PS3 was a game that I really enjoyed. Okay, I loved Split Second on the PS3. Fun, it was exciting, it was unique, and it was innovative in ways that, you know, it was a really fast-paced game, and I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
But, so it's coming to the PSP, and on the PSP, it's just, you know, It looks like everything's just miniaturized down to the PSP version, kind of like Mod Nation PSP. But one thing I noticed, though, is that it's just to have split second on the go would be fun, but it has an extra level or whatnot in the map, in the game as well. So, I mean, if you're a fan of split second, I'd recommend looking into that, because it was just announced on the PlayStation blog this week, actually today, in fact, the day that we're recording this podcast. It looks really good. It looks like it's going to be a great title. The screenshots I saw were pretty good, so hopefully it does good. So, yeah, that's it for the story mill. Pardon me. But first topic that we're going to talk about today, something that's been kind of going back and forth around the internet a lot over the past 5 years. Now, this is something that's just... how can I describe it? It's really kind of annoying to me as a video game news reporter, kind of. As an editor, I guess, for video game news. And it's really annoying to me to see this, and it kind of makes me like have my doubts about the industry for video games. Because of the fact that, well, let me just explain the topic here. It's company bickering, okay? When you go on N4G or some video game website and you hear whoever, big video game developer or publisher, said this about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Cool. So, I was on N4G a long time ago, and it said something about Aaron Greenberg saying that, or no, it was actually Gabe Newell saying that the PS3 is, like, outdated or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? Why even come out and say this kind of stuff? Is it just to get you publicity? Because I don't think it does good publicity for their games, give or take, depending on the controversy.
Yep.
Like, Draker, give me an example of one of the, you know, something you've seen on N4G lately that's kind of similar to this.
Well, I don't know. I think David Jaffe came out and he started talking about Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And about the controversy that happened with that, right? And how he just, I guess he couldn't handle it or something, or he...
No, he didn't. He didn't
play it or something. Like,
no, he preferred not to play as the Taliban.
Right.
In
Taliban.
Medal of Honor. We're going to get to that as our next topic. But yeah, and if you guys remember back near the release of Forza Motorsport 3, the guys were saying were really calling out Gran Turismo, saying that Gran Turismo is going to be, this game is going to be 10 times bigger than Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo looks like a 2D racer compared to Forza, and stupid stuff like that. And every comment I saw on it was like, wow, these guys can't be serious. This, obviously, Gran Turismo is going to be better, is what a lot of the comments were. But some of them were, why do they even say this, you know? This isn't really getting them more publicity for their game, because most of their sales for their game are done to a general audience when they see their game in the store or on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's for a lot of your audience. Like, there's the percentage of people who are actually going into the video game news on websites like N4G and Joystick and Kotaku and all these websites like our site, a lot of the people are just, you know, not your major market, you know? It's a small percentage of the video game market as a whole. And all I want to know is, when is enough enough? Because you see it nonstop. I mean, it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
It started at a developer level, then it moved up to a publisher level with Bobby Kotick, and then it even moved up to a console developer level with, like, with big name guys in the console creators, like one guy in Sony was saying stuff a few weeks ago, like about a month ago.
Yep.
And Aaron Greenberg, as we all know from Microsoft, he says a lot, you know. And Major Nelson says a lot. So it's like, really, when is enough enough? When do they just decide to not open their mouths? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's really not necessary at all, really.
This is the kind of thing you would see in politics.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah.
To be honest, I don't want to see video games stoop to the level of politics, because that's a grade lower. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I understand where you come from there. So.
Now, like you were saying, David Jaffe had mentioned that thing about Medal of Honor, and David Jaffe. He's the kind of guy who doesn't really care about anything he says, and I think he understands a little too much that the video game news market is not the major market you're appealing to for games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy who's like, he doesn't really, it's hard to describe, but
yeah.
He knows, he kind of has this feeling like what he says isn't really going to affect the sales of his game too much if it's done like to the audience of his Twitter account or something like that, you know, because that's more of a personal basis thing, you know?
All right. So for company bickering, I would say it's stupid, but it's going to happen always. Reason why is because, of course, companies are going to talk crap about each other's games, and they're going to say, like, ours is better. No, then other companies going to be like, no, ours is better, and it's just going to go on and on. I honestly think it's just pointless, and it's...
Because it doesn't really attract their audience, really.
No, it doesn't. It's just... I mean, well, it's those loyal ones that will attract them.
Oh, yeah. But how much percent of their market is that? Not much.
Not much.
And the other thing is, a lot of them will go on there and say something like... Major Nelson says the Xbox 360 has already won this console generation or something like that. It's something similar to that, not exactly that, but something similar to that would be said. And my response is, well, obviously he's going to say that because he works for Microsoft. He is paid to say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Another example would be like having, developer A saying that his game is going to outsell all the others. Well, he's going to say that because he's paid to say that. That's what he's, you know, kind of supposed to do, you know?
Yeah. That's why you're always going to hear that, so...
Yeah.
No matter what, it's always going to happen. Company bickering, they're just going to do that always.
Yeah,
and it's just going to cause a ruckus between the community and everybody.
And overall, it doesn't help. It does not help in the long run, you know what I mean? And it's just, I've been getting kind of annoyed with it, really.
Yeah.
And then, one more thing. You got the hype builders, okay? Yeah. The ones who just say stuff to generate a lot of hype, which, whether it's true or false, it doesn't matter. It's going to generate hype, you know? Kind of like what I just said. This game's going to blow you away. And stuff like, you know who really does it the best? What's his face from GTTV?
Yeah.
He'll say stuff on it. Jeff Keighley, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley, yeah.
He'll say stuff on his Twitter or on a preview for the next show saying, like, something to just build hype. And, of course, it's for his job, like, because he's part of game trailers, and you'll see it only on game trailers usually, right? Mm-hmm. But even when it's stupid stuff like Sony's E3 press conference is going to blow you away, you know, and it's like you're going to be like totally shocked or something like that. It's just like, great, thanks, whatever. But anyways, let's move to our next topic, the Medal of Honor perspective. Now, I wrote my review on Medal of Honor yesterday, I believe.
What'd you give it? What'd you give it?
I gave it a 8.9.
That's pretty good.
Now, I made a bold statement to Andrew a while ago, and he disagrees with me. I know he disagrees with me.
I do disagree. I completely disagree. But, I'm just going to have to respect the fact that that's how you feel about it. So.
And now, this is because I said that Medal of Honor outperforms, but I prefer to play Medal of Honor rather than Battlefield Bad Company 2 or Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
No way.
I say it's not a better game in terms of performance, but in terms of straight up gameplay, I like it more. Okay, I think it's better in terms of straight up gameplay.
You prefer the gameplay style?
The multiplayer.
It might
be the style, but it's a lot. The style is extremely similar to Battlefield. It seems like it's been, you know, adjusted and made just perfect for a fast-paced action.
I think it's its own unique style, honestly, because
it's hard to say that, but
I honestly disagree. I completely disagree.
I wouldn't say it.
What are your points, Andrew?
Medal of Honor, from what I played, it's just like Battlefield Bad Company 2. Except it's more close quarter combat or like coordinated, and it's more fast paced. That's kind of what it is to me, and that's how I see it.
And that's when you played the beta, though.
That's when I played the beta. I mean, final game is probably the same way too.
No, it's not. Except at all. It's actually completely different.
Mm-hmm.
All right, comparing the beta to the final game is like apples and oranges, really, because the final game is completely different for the multiplayer. I promise you, you'll have a complete 100% different experience between playing the beta and the normal game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't because, you know, you guys and the listeners know that I've been a big fan of Medal of Honor since they announced it, really. And I'm not trying to be a fanboy here or anything. I am legit in my perspective that I think Medal of Honor is a better game than Battlefield Bad Company 2. The story was told very well, okay? Despite the fact that it was extremely linear, but it was still a very fun, not a very fun, but very serious story that was told. It was a very good brotherhood kind of story, too. That really showed, and it was meant to be a salute to the soldiers in Afghanistan and whatnot, and of wars all over the country that have been fought over the years, rather than to mock them, you know what I mean? A lot of people saw it as they're just mocking soldiers, and it's like, no, they're not. They're saluting them, you know? But let's talk about what Medal of Honor is and what it is not, okay? Medal of Honor is a fast-paced, serious, first-person shooter game that has a unique curve in its multiplayer, okay? It's not a learning curve, but it's unique, all right? What it is not, a Modern Warfare 2 clone. Okay, nope. It's not a Call of Duty clone, all right?
No.
It's not a carbon copy of that. And it's similar to Battlefield Bad Company 2, but it's not exactly that either. It's not exactly a Battlefield title.
I think it's its own game, honestly. I really do. Like so. I think I'd prefer Bad Company 2 over it.
Yeah, I would prefer... I honestly would prefer Bad Company 2 over it. In my opinion.
There's still time for us to...
I recommend you guys rent it and experience the game.
Yes.
Because even Santiago agrees with me.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's played Battlefield back in the Medal of Honor. He even agrees that, Medal of Honor is definitely a lot more kick-ass, you know. And the thing is, I'm trying to figure out exactly what, like, down to the exact gameplay mechanic that they've done to Medal of Honor to make it so really addictive and fun. But I think what it is, it's finally a fast-paced, modern war shooter that's perfectly balanced. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, in Battlefield Bad Company 2, you got your snipers that you'll get pissed off at. You've got the medics who only kill that you'll get pissed off at. People not performing their team actions.
Mm-hmm.
But in Medal of Honor, there's not that much emphasis on having specific jobs for each member of your team. Yeah. But rather, and because there's only three classes, all of which are offensive classes.
Yeah, it's mainly just what you want to play as, right?
Yeah, it's basically, the classes are more about your play style rather than your play role, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I really enjoy about it, because you don't have to, when you choose a class, you're not forced to that kind of role, and you're allowed to do everything that you're able to do in that game off of that role. And that's one thing I really like about it, but I like it because it's one of the first games in a long time to do that and stay balanced, you know what I mean? It has progression. But despite the progression, it is always balanced, okay? And balance is an important thing, because we know Modern Warfare 2 wasn't balanced at all. Okay. Everything is overpowered in Modern Warfare 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I've been really liking Call of Duty.
That's why you like Call of Duty?
Medal of Honor, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm about to say, whoa,
what's going on there?
Now, if you compare it to Black Ops, I'm not saying that you should buy this over Black Ops by any means, okay? What I'm saying is that if it's a very good stepping stone to create a very good competitor to the Call of Duty series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, Black Ops, you're going to get more bang for your buck without a doubt, okay? The guys at Treyarch and Activision know how to set up hype. You know, they've got lots of skill in setting up the hype behind a title and generating the sales, and they've been really experienced in this kind of thing, and they've been at it longer too. This is like comparing the 360 to the PS3 on the PS3's launch date, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a lot of what it's like. You're comparing a long-living franchise to a newcomer, and in a way it's a newcomer because it's a reboot, you know?
Right.
So I think it's kind of unfair to compare it to Black Ops, but then again, in gaming, there's not a lot of fairness anyways. Because it's a competitive market, it's a very competitive market. You got to really get a leg up on the competition, which is, I think, a very large reason of why the Medal of Honor was released earlier than Black Ops. And I think, because Black Ops, you've got the wager matches, the gun game, the Nova zombies, plus you've got the single player and the multiplayer, okay?
Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to.
And those are big components, okay? You've got five major components in there if you add customization to that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those are very big components that are really good for customizing a playstyle, and Medal of Honor has got a long way to go before it can reach that kind of caliber.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is, in a way, it's a smaller scale game, but it's still very good in its own way. Like Drake, you said it so yourself. Yeah. It's its own game, you know?
It's its own game. Mm-hmm.
And it's really for the hardcore audience, too, you know? It is. They advertise themselves as that, you know? This is a realism title, okay? And Call of Duty is a fantasy title, okay? It's a fantasy war in, you know, kind of in a fantasy tone, while Medal of Honor is a real war in a realistic tone, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the difference that you'll see with Medal of Honor and Call of Duty. That's where it's going to split the sales on the people who like realism and the people who like fantasy, okay? It's escapism versus dramatism, okay? That's, I think, what it comes down to is the difference between Medal of Honor and Black Ops. I just really wanted to get that out of the way, but now, the other thing, the Taliban issue, all right? What do you guys think about the Taliban issue? Let's start with Andrew.
The Taliban issue is pretty much... The Taliban issue was just, like, saying, like, why they don't have Taliban in it, right?
It's, or, no, like, it's basically... It's not that they changed it, it's that it's there in the first place. You know, what do you think about what if they had kept the name Taliban in the multiplayer, but it's still Taliban in the single player, but still, what do you feel about Taliban playing as a Taliban in that game?
Well, I mean,
you're called
honestly,
opposing force, but you are technically Taliban.
Honestly, it's just a game. I mean, it's not like we're gonna go out there and like become Taliban, or it's not like, you know, they're actual Taliban. I mean, it's just a game. It's just a video game, and people just took it a little too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though we support, you know, our troops and whatnot, I mean, this is just a video game. I mean, it's not like it shouldn't be a huge deal, but apparently one woman, and I'm sorry to say that, but one woman had to make it a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And EA was under pressure, and of course they had to change the name. They had to change it.
Do you believe the controversy pushed the sales of this game?
No, I don't. I don't believe
it. You don't think that controversy pushed any sales of this game?
No.
Well, no, you got to keep in mind, though, the game reached the news with this controversy, okay? More people know about the game now because of the controversy. But now, the fact that, because a lot of the piece, a lot of big part of advertising is to get it so more people know that your title is there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think the controversy helped the sales of this game? Because now more people know about this game now because of this controversy.
They would know about the game, but because of that, I don't think people would buy it because of that. Because of that controversy and because they were kind of against it.
Well, I think the bad controversy for Mortal Kombat and from Grand Theft Auto series, I think those have really pushed the sales of Grand Theft Auto and Mortal Kombat. Like, than ever before, too, because now you're looking at a title that's... Because Grand Theft Auto was a title now known for its mature rating, you know what I mean? It's known to have, you know, the worst of the worst in it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the consumers now know this, okay, because of the fact that it has this controversy and it was in the news. So, now the consumers know this. Now, because of the consumer knowing it and word of mouth and eavesdropping, more people know that this is the game that's going to have the worst stuff in it, and that's going to be interesting to see, you know, for a consumer to see in a game. Now, that's why I believe that the bad press and the bad, you know, controversies from Grand Theft Auto 4 really pushed that sale a lot.
Yeah, but...
Well, you don't think the same thing will happen to Medal of Honor?
No, I honestly don't. I think it spiked it a little bit, but then it kind of led some people away from it. I mean,
so you think the difference is, you know, the bad outweighed, or, you know, they kind of match each other in the long run, and the controversy really didn't have an effect on sales.
Yeah.
All right. Draker, what do you think about the Taliban controversy?
I really don't think it mattered all that much to ever. Like, I don't know. Like, this one person just came out and says, like, oh, yeah, it bothered her, right? But I don't know. In the end, like Andrew's saying, it's just a game, and
it's just a game.
I don't.
so was Grand Theft Auto, but they took that to a new extreme as well.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. That's always gonna happen as well.
Now, do you think it's a separate issue though with Grand Theft Auto? Do you think that you're really comparing apples to oranges, sayonara, when you're saying, well, yeah, that game's got violence, but this isn't rather violence, but rather, you know, participants of violence.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to, you know, push some counterpoints to my argument. because it is kind of comparing apples and oranges, really, if you think about it, because you're comparing a game that's getting press for its violence, and violence sells, compared to a game that's getting press for its decision in terms of setting, okay? Mm-hmm. And character. And setting and character haven't really sold a game that much as I've seen in the past. Okay, like if you're if you're playing, you know, a game where like a secret agent game and you're playing as the guy from Mission Impossible or the guy from 007, it hasn't really affected the sales too much, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's really comparing apples and oranges too, and that kind of goes back to Andrew's point that it probably didn't affect the sales too much, you know what I mean?
It's like I said, it kind of spiked it, but not as much as they wanted it, because, you know, the controversy and such. So
from what I heard, it pretty much brought everybody down there at the company or something. So I don't know.
Yeah.
After hearing about that and all the trouble they had with that, right? So just something they had to deal with.
All right, well, that's it for that topic, I guess. Let's move on to Game of the Week this week, Rock Band 3 Release Countdown. Now, Rock Band 3 is coming out next week. Tuesday.
Not next week.
Tuesday,
two
right?
Weeks from now.
Two weeks from now. Okay.
2 weeks.
So, yeah, it's coming out 2 weeks from now, and it's looking like it's shaping up to be an interesting title with a new addition. Finally, some more innovation in a music genre game with Rock Band, bringing keyboard.
Keyboard and real guitars, yeah.
Real guitars, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's actually a mode called Pro Mode now in Rock Band 3. For some people that don't know, Pro Mode is pretty much it's a difficult mode where you have to actually use new peripherals, new instruments, right, that are actual guitars, and you can actually play the game with these guitars.
So what you're saying is you can actually learn.
You can actually play an instrument. You can actually learn how to play the guitar in this game.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
That is cool. So.
That's pretty cool, and that's something that they wanted to try and do. You can still, of course, play with the buttons, but if you actually want to master the guitar, yes, you can play that now.
You can still play the arcade edition. that's what we can call it.
Two weeks.
Yeah. So next week on our podcast, we're going to give you a slight update on Rock Band 3, just to tell you what's been new in the game, what we've been hearing about the game, and the outlook of the sales for Rock Band 3 next week.
Yes.
So that's next week. Weekly gameplay this week. What have you guys been playing this week?
I just want to say, Rock Band 3 doesn't come out next week. It comes out 2 weeks now.
Yeah, we said that.
But what I've been playing is a lot of Red Dead lately. And yeah. I think we all have. And I am currently awaiting my review copy for Fallout New Vegas, and you can expect that review up next week. Next week, cool. Tuesday.
Drake, what have you been playing lately?
Well, I've been actually playing some Sonic.
Yeah! Sonic 4 is out. Yeah. Sonic 4!
We'll be seeing your review shortly.
Yeah.
So, what else have you been playing?
What else? Kingdom Hearts.
Yes!
Yes, he's been playing Kingdom Hearts.
Non-stop?
A lot.
Whenever I'm on the go walking somewhere, I'm playing Kingdom Hearts.
are you walking a lot of places?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No.
No? Yeah, no, it's, I was talking to you and, Neil about, Kingdom Hearts earlier today. We were talking about what's been leading up to Kingdom Hearts 3. I just want to kind of touch on that a little bit, because I think that's going to add a little bit of variety to the podcast. But, now, Kingdom Hearts, it's, you were telling me that the storyline starts out with Birth by Sleep?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the first one, and then Kingdom Hearts 1, then Chain of Memories and 365 and a Half Days.
Mm-hmm.
That go at the same time, then Kingdom Hearts 2.
Right.
Yeah.
And these have all been building up to Kingdom Hearts 3. So that really raises the bar then for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah. No, yeah. It does, really. And it's just like the only problem they had with Kingdom Hearts 3 is like he was saying I can't remember his name, but he was saying that they didn't have the technology or something to build
set the scale
or set the scale and everything
at the time.
And there was so much more of the story that he wanted to fill in some different areas, right? So that's what he's been doing, right? And he's just getting everybody all interested and everybody all hyped up for Kingdom Hearts 3, right? So
Yeah.
If it takes three, if you have two if you have a game, then a sequel, and it takes three side stories to prep you for the third game, then it's going to be big. You know what I mean?
It's going to be a big game.
I think this is one of the most anticipated. It's going to be when it starts getting closer to release, when they show off the first trailer, it'll probably be one of the bigger, most anticipated RPGs, JRPGs, really.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Western Front, you know what I mean?
Man, I've just been waiting for that. I've been waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3 for a long time. I have been very patient with this. what's his name? What's the guy's name who made Kingdom Hearts? Tetsuya
Nomura.
Tetsuya Nomura. If you are fucking listening to this, release this game. Now.
At least give us a trailer, at least. You know.
Give us a teaser or something. I swear, I have been waiting. When did Kingdom Hearts 2 come out? 2005, I think?
Yeah.
Something. I've been waiting 5 years for a goddamn Kingdom Hearts 3. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I am a huge fan of this game. Oh my God. Just something, please, to hold me off. I don't care if it's a teaser or if it's something. Just come on. Seriously, throw a bone at us.
Now, one thing I want to ask is, when does Kingdom Hearts Recoded take place? Or do you guys know anything about that yet?
It's supposed to be during, I don't know. I think, during one, I don't know.
I really don't know a whole lot about it.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's supposed to be.
As far as I know, it's not that big a deal, but I don't know.
Oh, so it doesn't really have that much of an impact on the series?
I don't think so.
It's for mobile phones. So.
Mobile phones, too.
Mobile phones, all right. Yeah.
So, never mind about that, then. it's pretty interesting, though. I mean, it's hard to really set up a game this high, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's gonna be a great... I think it's going to be a great title when it does get released.
Yep. The anticipation, man. Mm-hmm. Just anticipation whenever it comes out, tears of joy will come down my face. That's all I can say.
Yeah. No,
I hear you.
No user comments again today. So
come on, guys. Seriously, you listen to this podcast. Give us some questions. We want to answer them. We want to talk to you guys. We want to communicate. We want to be a community. So come on, please. At least shoot us one question. You can shoot me a line. You can shoot Jordan a line. You can shoot James a line.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, we want to answer your questions. And we want to hear what you guys have to say. So, I mean, come on, guys.
We would like that a lot.
A lot. It would be nice.
I also want to say that we're going to start pushing the event soon. It is 5 weeks away now. So, right now, we're going to start accepting sign-ups for it. For the Call of Duty Black Ops tournament for November 6th, 17th, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, on November 17th, you guys, remember, we're going to have our big Call of Duty, you know, Black Ops event where we're going to be talking about, we're going to have interviews with the developers, and the day before we're going to be talking to Sony about the future of PlayStation and the past of PlayStation, because they've celebrated their 15-year anniversary now.
Right.
So just going to get a little insight as to their plans for the future and whatnot. So I hope you're here for those 2 days. We're going to have some giveaways and whatnot. It's going to be really fun. Hope you're all there to see it and whatnot. So it's definitely going to be a big event for PSN at Home, really going to generate for our community. So thanks for listening. That's the end of the podcast. So thanks for listening. See you again next time.
We'll see you guys later.
Later.